Well, praise God. How is everybody this morning? Good? Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know. I wasn't listening to Joseph. I'm sorry, son. But I don't know if he said anything about next Sunday. Next two Sundays, Pastor Wynn Goss is going to be here preaching. And so please be here. Don't not be here. You need to stretch yourself. I know Wynn is a little different type minister than I am, mainly because he comes from Wales, and that ain't nowhere near Texas. Talks a little funny and all, but he's a man of God. He's a seasoned minister, a seasoned man of God. And you can learn something from him. So he's going to be here the next 2 weeks. If you wonder why I'm not going to be here, because I heard the Lord speak to me, told me to, it's time to get onto the fiery chariot and ride to the mountain and hear God. Don't you love how pastor can spiritualize everything? So I will be on the mountain of God on the fiery chariot. Okay, I wanna share something with you. Seems like there's something else I should have told you. I guess that's it. We'll figure it out later. I started this message Wednesday night. Some of you that were there, you're gonna hear some of the same things again. But you really need to go back and get onto the website and listen to the message I preached on Wednesday, because I'm not gonna go over all of it. But I want to share something with you because I just feel like I'm burning on the inside just with a new flame in my life. There's a new passion on the inside of my life, and I'm seeing things that I've never seen before. And, you know, ever since I got saved, ever since I gave my heart to the Lord, my desire is to tell everybody and teach everybody basically what I've learned about Jesus. I mean, that's the bottom line. I want people to know Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to work in life. It's the only thing that's going to make any difference in your life. And so all these years going by, and a lot of times I felt like I haven't got the message across. A lot of times I feel like, it was good, or whatever. But I'm grieved when I look over the body of Christ and I see so many people just going about their daily lives, going, to church, to work, going home, and back the routine again. But they don't have any real joy in their life. They don't have any real peace in their life. They don't have any real victory in their life. They're just going through the motions of life. And that's not what the Bible has got for us. That's not what Jesus bled and died on the cross for us. It's not going to be that you're going to have a perfect life, but it's going to be that, and not have an obstacle, but it's going to be that there is a difference between walking in your life with a relationship, a revelational relationship with Jesus Christ, or just walking through life kind of hoping everything's going to be okay. And so I believe that we're in a place in time in this world that, I don't know about y'all, but you just read the headlines, just go on one of the news agencies and read the headlines of the what's going on in the world, and you're just like, really? I mean, there's some things in my life that I have a hard time fathoming, other things I don't. If I read the headlines and said, barroom fight broke out last night, I'd say, yeah, I can understand that. Been there, done that. Bought the T-shirt. If something like that, comes up. But nowadays you read the headlines and it's just bizarre. How about even what's going on in the Capitol with all the abortion deal? I would have never in my life dreamed, before I knew Jesus even, okay, before I had the love of God, would I ever dream that people would be standing in the state capitol shouting, "Hail Satan"? Right? You always, watch some crazy movie, when you're a kid and there was some strange cult that was cutting up a black cat and doing something that maybe you would think that it is, but not. Not in our state capitol. Is that bizarre to y'all? That's extreme. Besides the fact they're standing there wanting to kill a baby after 20 weeks. Besides that point. I mean, my Lord. I mean, it's like, what? And the world, the crazier it gets, folks, the only way people are going to be able to walk in any victory is they've got to have a revelation. Now, the Bible talks about a revelation. Matter of fact, there's a book called Revelation, right? And what revelation means, it's simply, it's really, really, really simple. The word revelation is just like that. There's a bottle of water sitting there. And now you can't see it. Revelation means to take the cover off. And now you can see it. And what's happening is the devil just wants to veil Jesus. He just wants to put over this world a veil that people won't see Jesus, won't see his love, won't see his compassion. To turn people off because of bad preaching, bad churches that have preached gospels that put people under more condemnation. I mean, that's not a strange thing. It happened in the day that Jesus was there. He told the Pharisees, he said, man, you make more of a child of hell than they were before by all the stuff you've put on them. That's what Jesus himself said. And so what has to happen is people have to have a revelation. Somebody has got to take off the veil so that people can behold Jesus. And I want to show you that this morning. I want to talk to you about that this morning, about having a revelation of Jesus. So the title of this message is Ain't Got No Sense 2. Because one was Wednesday night, so this is two. So, you know, how many times, I mean, it's a pretty good saying around here that we use. You know, you see somebody that, you know, maybe is not the sharpest pencil in the box, and you say, man, he ain't got no sense. And we mean that in a understanding, like he doesn't have much understanding or he's being foolish or whatever. But the Bible talks about two types of knowledge. Sense knowledge of what you gain from this world, what you can by education, by experience, by whatever that you get into your life, that you arrive at a basis of knowledge, okay? And that's, I'm calling it sense knowledge, like the five senses, just for the lack of a better word to say, the sense knowledge. But then there's another whole knowledge out there. It's called revelation knowledge. It's the knowledge that the Holy Spirit breaks forth into your life and opens your understanding that you can see Jesus for who he really is. You see, I went to church. My parents were faithful to take me to church, and they took me to church almost every Sunday of our life. We were churchgoers. But church never meant anything to me. I never saw Jesus in it, but it must have sowed some seed in me. Because one day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God revealed himself to me because I cried out to him. And the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to me, and when he did, my world changed because I saw things differently. That's a revelation. A revelation is what comes into your life that all of a sudden you're just like, wow. I've told this story before, but it bears telling again. You know, before I got saved, my wife got saved. Well, my wife, it's one of those deals, I didn't tell the whole story. She always claims she was saved, and I said, I don't believe so. But anyway, we'll find out when we get to heaven and see what the book says, you know. She claims she was a good little Baptist girl, went to a revival and got saved. And I'm like, really? Okay. Anyway. But I came home from work one day, and we were in some desperate straits in the ranch, and we were about to lose everything, and we were going broke, and life was hard, and I was drinking a lot. And I came home, and my wife was sitting on the edge of the couch. I can still see it in my mind like it was yesterday. And she was reading a book, and she had tears in her eyes. And I said, what's the matter with you? Like, I got enough problems, and now I come home to a crying wife, you know? That was my thinking. And she said, it's really real. And I said, what's really real? And she said, Jesus, he's really real. You see, she'd been reading this book, and the power of the Holy Spirit had touched her heart, and she had opened up, you know, her understanding, and she had a revelation of Jesus. Did she see a burning bush? Did she see smoke on a mountain? She said, no. It happened within her own heart. But there was a new way. All of a sudden, a new world was opened up, this revelation. And when that revelation hit, it was like, wow. And she was changed. I could see she was changed. She freaked me out. But then it was about 2 weeks later, I gave my heart to the Lord. And a revelation hit me. Changed my life forever. set me on this course that we've been on. Redirected my whole family, redirected my whole life. Everything about it changed because of a revelation. Not because of I wanted to follow a church or a person or whatever. I just, Jesus is real to me. Nobody can take that from me. You can tie me to a wagon wheel and beat me with a whip. The revelation, when you have a revelation, it can't be taken from you. It's real. If it's something you're wishing for, hoping for, some hypothetical thing, something that you've dreamed up, something you heard somebody say, I wish I had. Whoa, don't do that. Oh, I wish I did. I wish I had that. You know, if you did something like that, it's not a revelation. A revelation changes you. A revelation sets you on a course. A revelation puts you on a path that even if you're adamantly opposed to everything else that you've known, it takes you and propels your heart to go that direction. We need revelation. We need to walk by revelation. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. When you're trying to lean to your own understanding, when you're trying to make sense of it, folks, listen to me. You cannot make sense of Jesus. He multiplies bread. He walks on water. He cleanses lepers. He raises the dead. Who goes to a funeral and screams, Lazarus, come forth? Who walks in the city of Nam, lays hands on the coffin because he just has some compassion for the mother who lost her son? Who does that? Jesus. Who calms storms? Who stands on the front of the boat and speaks to his storm? The disciples were freaked out because they were always living and walking by sense knowledge. Sense knowledge says you're in the middle of a storm, row as hard as you can to get to the other side. Sense knowledge says, get out the life jackets. Sense knowledge says, call a mayday. Right? That's what sense knowledge says. Jesus says, I don't operate by sense knowledge. I operate by revelation knowledge because I know who my Father is who made the wind and the stars and this earth and everything on there. So look, I want to show you a new way. Speak to the storm. Everybody's like, what? What do you mean? That doesn't compute. Yes. A lot of times revelation knowledge does not compute with sense knowledge. But He's God and you're not. Hello? Jesus wants to come into your life and He wants you to have to live by revelation knowledge. It's revelation knowledge that will change your life. It's revelation knowledge that'll propel you into the future. It's revelation knowledge that'll put your marriage together. And it's revelation knowledge that'll set you free from addictions. It's revelation knowledge that'll give you wisdom into the future. Now, I want to tell you something. And I say this a lot of times. And, you know, a lot of times people ask me, so what kind of a church are y'all? And y'all a cowboy church? And I said, no, we're not really a cowboy church. I mean, I'm a cowboy and we have church, but I don't know if we want to call it a cowboy church, you know. Are y'all a non-denominational church? I said, well, there's a lot of people, a lot of different denominations in church. You know, were y'all Pentecostal? I said, well, you know, we got some Pentecostal, you know. I mean, we believe in the Holy Ghost, so that's what you're talking about, you know. Now, it's hard for me. I just believe the Bible is true. You say, oh, so you're a Bible-believing church. Well, we do believe in the Bible, but I don't like labels. I don't like names. Okay? But when the charismatic revival started to take place from the late 60s, early 70s on, people began to take the word revelation and they wanted revelation because it got into the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Now let me just make this statement here and just don't turn me off for a second. And so everybody wanted to operate in the gifts of the Spirit because, I mean, it's pretty cool. Wow. But a lot of people did it because of ego, not because of love of God. When I say a revelation, I'm not talking about you getting a revelation about somebody else's life so you can speak to them a word of knowledge. I'm talking a revelation about Jesus and who he is that changes your life. If we walk in revelation knowledge of Jesus and we have a relationship with him that his ways are being revealed to us, then the rest of everything comes easy. Are y'all with me? You got to seek Jesus and the revelation of who he is. Paul said, man, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you'd know the hope of the calling, that you would know who he is. Paul also prayed, he said, listen, man, I would throw everything away just to know him. Hello? But revelation knowledge, the problem is with us as Christians, revelation knowledge usually only comes one of two ways. First of all, revelation knowledge can only come if you're hungry. If you're hungry for more of God. Apathetic people have no appetite. Hello? But revelation comes from hunger. And hunger can only come in your life two ways. All right? Only two ways. It's either going to come through desperation or desire. You're either in such a bind in life, my God, if God doesn't bail you out, you don't know what you're going to do. And you're so desperate because you're just crying out to him. You know, most people, when faced with death, most people start immediately praying and turn to God. May not have prayed for 50 years, but you say, you're going to die. Oh, God. Hello? Like I always say, there's not too many atheists in a foxhole. You get under enough pressure, most people cry out to God. The problem is, why live your life until that point without knowing him? Why have to get into a desperate place before you've developed your relationship? Right? The second way you can have hunger on the inside of you is just simply by desire. You desire it. Like myself, I like to eat good food. Hello? Are y'all with me? I don't like to eat food that doesn't taste good. I mean, I'm really choosy, picky. Like, if you're going to give me a tortilla, I want a good tortilla. You know, I want one that's made out of manteca. I want a good tortilla. I don't want some old store-bought thing that you can just barely roll up. I want it to come out of a five-gallon bucket of Hog Lord, you know? That's the good ones. Can I have an amen from somebody? You know what I'm talking about. You can smell it. I always say this, and one of y'all are going to steal my ideas from this, but I'm going to make an air freshener that smells like a homemade tortilla. Of course, I'll always be hungry as I'm going down the road, but I'm telling you what, the smell of a fresh, good homemade tortilla is, woo. And I don't like to eat them cheap ones. I don't like to eat the ones that just don't smell like anything, right? And they just, you know, just got the sausage rolled up is about all it was good for. Hello? So I have a hunger and I have an appetite, but I want the good things. And I'm the same way with the gospel. I don't want to just eat anything. I don't want to deal with frivolous things about religion. I actually, this week, attended a Catholic funeral. First time I'd ever been to a Catholic funeral. Wow, big difference. Right? But if that floats somebody's boat, go on. But it didn't float mine. Are y'all with me? But I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to know him. I'm not going to put myself up and say, well, this and that. And there's no, why? I want good food. I want steak. I want good steak. Are y'all with me? I don't want some lean piece of grass-fed beef that, you know, you got to cut it on the grain to even get it to chew up. Man, I want a good marbled piece of beef, right? About an inch and a half thick, cooked right. Hello? Now, there's some people that eat meat. You know, God help us, the world's going to be vegetarians, but yeah, I'm going to eat meat all the days of my life. I'm a carnivore. I am. I like it. I'm going to eat it. I don't care. Cut some years off my life. Glory to God, I lived the best of my life, as happy as I could be. You should not probably follow my course, but this is mine, and I'm living it. But, you know, a lot of people have never eaten a good steak. And so they're satisfied with the trash you get. But if you've eaten the good, right? Y'all with me? If you've eaten a good one, then when you get a sorry one, everybody else says, oh, this is really good. I'm like, pfft. Give me a good tortilla. I can take a bad steak, put enough stuff on it and eat it. Because if I can roll anything in a good tortilla, I can eat it. I could probably roll tofu in a good tortilla and eat it. Put enough picante sauce on it. I'm getting off. Y'all are getting me off. The problem is, you see, you have to have a revelation of what was good. Y'all with me? I'm not wanting you to get a revelation of church doctrine. I'm talking about Jesus and who he is. A revelation. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. You have a revelation and you come to know him. Are y'all with me? Now, I want you to go to the book of Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to talk to you right now and wrap this up about how you get hunger turned into revelation. Are y'all with me? How you're going to get your hunger turned into revelation. See, you can be hungry for food, you know, and stop off at a fast food place and get bad food. And you may satisfy your hunger, but it wasn't really the good stuff. I'm going to talk about the good stuff this morning. All right? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, but I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach by me is not according to man. Now think about that. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul could read the first four books of the Bible forwards and backwards. Paul knew what the Bible said. He was a learned man, studied under Gamaliel, the highest ranking Pharisee teacher of the day. He was educated above educated. So he said, look, all that I learned when I was in Bible school, I'm paraphrasing that, but all that I learned when I was in Bible school, he said, I count it as nothing. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul said, my God, all this work I had done, all this Bible study I had done, then all of a sudden one day, whoop, the veil was taken off, the cover was lifted, a revelation of who Jesus was came to me, and it changed my whole course. It changed everything in my life. It turned everything around. The first thing you're going to have to understand about having a revelation and turning your hunger into revelations, you've got to understand it can only come one way, and that's through the Holy Spirit. If you're around a person who says, I don't know about that Holy Spirit, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, that person's not going to walk in a revelation. You said, oh, you mean we're going to go all Pentecostal and everything? No, I'm not talking about that. I'll get to that in just a second. You've got to understand the only person that can open up your understanding to understand who Jesus is the Holy Spirit. That's why in John 16, Jesus said, when I leave this earth, I'm going to send the helper to you. He's going to come to you, and he's going to be able to show you things that you don't know. He's the revealer. He's the one that opens up your understanding, opens up your faith, opens up your heart, opens your life up so that you can have a revelation of Jesus. If you don't have a revelation with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have revelation knowledge. Look at the person beside you and say, man, that guy is good. I ought to come more often. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." It's the Holy Spirit that opens up your understanding. When I got saved, the first Bible I ever read was one of those old living Bibles, a padded green living Bibles, those old ones. That was the first thing I had. My grandfather had given that to me when I was graduating from high school, and I thought it was about, you know, the most worthless gift. And really, he knew a whole lot more than I did. And so that was the first Bible. The second Bible I ever read was a regular King James Bible. Somebody had given it to me, and so I read it. So I started learning and memorizing scriptures upon the way the King James is written. And so I always refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost, because that's what it refers to in the King James. And so Holy Ghost came the word to me rather than Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same thing. But I want to show you something here in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Luke 11, 9. He says, Jesus is speaking, so he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Now, if a son asks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer to him a scorpion? If you, being men evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, folks, listen to me. I don't care what you've been taught. You cannot use it as an excuse for not grabbing hold of that scripture right there and saying, "Wow, it's pretty simple to get the Holy Spirit operating in my life. I simply got to say, Holy Ghost, come into my life." Does it not say, "Ask and it shall be given"? Does it not say, "Seek and you shall find"? Does it not say, "Knock and it'll be open"? But isn't that the acts of someone who's hungry? Do you see what I'm saying, church? Jesus didn't make this gospel to where I can throw something on you and boom, you got it. He didn't give the preacher the magical pixie dust and I throw it on you and you're like, "Ah, I got it." No. He said, "I want you individuals, all of us, you, to ask, to seek, and to knock. I want you to be hungry. I want your hunger to propel you. I want your hunger to come upon you so that then I can move in your life because I see your heart." Because you know what men do? Go back and look. Throughout the dark ages, people used to sell prayers. Call them indulgences. If you wanted something to happen, wanted, you know, me to pray for your lost loved one or something going on in your life, you came to me and you paid the preacher. I prayed, wrote you a receipt. And then men became more corrupt and more corrupt and more corrupt. So see, if I'm going to teach you, if I'm going to be greedy, then I'm going to teach you that you have to have me in order to get to heaven or talk to heaven. I'll teach you that. And I'll twist the scriptures to where that's what you're going to see. Then you're dependent upon me. And then my income is taken care of. It's a good racket. It's a good racket. So then Frank gets in a desperate place. He's got to come talk to me. And I say, "Well, Frank, that's going to take a lot of prayer. And so it's going to cost you a couple hundred, bud." I can set my own rates, charge it or want to. Are y'all with me? That's the wickedness of man. So God says, I'm not going to make it like that. I'm not going to give man, any one individual, the power to be able to sell my services. So what I want man to do is to be hungry, and I want man to ask and to seek and to find me. And when they do, I'm always there, but I want them to look through the stuff and the junk out of life to find me. My wife always tells me, you know, she tells me something, you know, what's right there in the ice box, you know, something right there. I go look for it. I say, it ain't there. And then she walks over and she says, you have got to be kidding me. And, you know, I don't seek very well. I scan. I'm a scanner. It has to jump out. I scan. It ain't there. And I don't know if that's just a man thing or what, but man, I am a scanner. It's like somewhere or another we think that we have like, it's not really x-ray vision, but it's like some sort of special sensory vision that we can scan, and if it, you know, it will leap out. And when it doesn't, you call for your wife. So, I mean, that's this thing that's common to man. So wives, just laugh about it and pray. We won't change. So he says here, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. So then what do we have to do? Go kneel at the altar on beans till you show penance and can get the Holy Spirit? That ain't what it says, is it? You know why I always say beans? Because you know if you put beans on the ground and you kneel on them, it hurts. That's not what it says. It came out of the mouth of Jesus himself. He said, if you ask and you seek, you're going to find. And if you said, ask for the Holy Spirit to come in your life, he will. So then does it not make logical sense that if you want to have a revelation, the very first thing you have got to do is from your own mouth and your own heart, say, Holy Spirit, I need you to come into my life. I need you to come in here and I want a revelation of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. Is that not what Jesus said to do? That's how we should be living our life every day. And you should be doing that every day of every moment of your life until you get to know the Holy Ghost so much that you, when you wake up in the morning, say, hey, Holy Ghost, how you doing? You see, when I get up in the morning and I leave for work, I don't know what y'all are doing, but the Holy Ghost is sitting beside me on the seat. He's there. And I say, hey, morning, Holy Ghost. Okay, now, these are the things I see today that need to take place. And so can you help me get these done? And then can you make sure and show me what I'm going to do wrong before I do it wrong and get me out of the messes and the binds I'm going to get into today? I mean, I'm listening to you. Talk to me. Tell me. Help me. Give me some guidance here. Give me some direction here. That's the way I start my day. I don't have to say, Father, send me the Holy Spirit, because I've been doing it for so many years. When I wake up, the Holy Ghost is there. Really? Yeah. How do you know? I got a revelation of it. Am I super special? No. You just, for, you know, 28 years of your life, you wake up every morning seeking the Holy Ghost. I mean, you're going to have to find him sooner or later when he's trying to come anyway. Are y'all with me here? Okay. That's step number one. How are you going to walk in this? You're going to turn your hunger into a revelation. You got to get this relationship with the Holy Spirit. You got to pray for it. Now, what's funny about it is I thought this morning, I said, I'm going to have everybody stand up right now at this point of the service and, you know, lift your hands and all y'all pray and everything. And then the Holy Spirit said, why? If they're not really just doing it because you told them to, why would difference it make? I said, see, there I go, getting all religious. I'm just doing it. I'm preaching to you, and either you're going to grab it and eat it and grab hold of it and say, my God, that guy's right, or you're not. You're going to go home, and right now you're thinking about roast, mashed potatoes, and homemade tortillas. Okay, the second thing, I want to go through these pretty quick because we're having communion this morning. Second thing you've got to understand, in order to turn your hunger into a revelation, is you have to understand the Word of God is alive. That Bible sitting there, do not let it get dust. It didn't just sit there and collect dust. It's there for you to read. Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit can go into the Word of God and make it leap off the pages to your life if you're reading it. But you can't put the Bible under your pillow at night and sleep on top of it and get it. If you're not reading Word, you're not going to get a revelation. So you need to develop a habit every day. You're going to turn your hunger into a revelation because you're going to develop a habit every day of spending time and read your Bible. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like to read. Listen to me. That's no excuse. Get in the book of John. Get in the book of Matthew. Get in that book. Get in the book of Galatians. Get in the book of and read the thing. My Lord, folks, it's only four chapters. You spend more time reading the back of the label to try to figure out what's in it than it takes you the time to read one chapter in the Bible. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. You can't tell me an excuse. If you can't read, then you can have an audio tape if you don't know how to read. If you're blind, then make Bibles in Braille. You don't know how to read Braille, get an audio tape. I mean, there's really no excuse. There's nothing that could be in our lives that warrants us not having time to read the Bible. It's on your iPhone. It's on your laptop. There's so many ways to read. Do you know that I never read a book in my entire life until I got saved? I went all the way through school. Hopefully by now most of my teachers have gone on to be with the Lord, so they won't ever hear this. But I never read a book, and I was on the National Honor Society. I have ways. I graduated with honors, but never read a book. I was very illustrated and very, I make up a lot of bull pretty quick. The first book I ever read in my life was the Bible. It's the very first book I ever read. I opened it up for the very first time in my life and read. I have dyslexia. Usually that makes it hard for readers. I just prayed and said, okay, Holy Ghost, I got to John 16 and said, you're supposed to help me, now help me, understand. Found out that my weakness in the natural turned out to be my strength in the spiritual because although I had a hard time arranging words and things because of the dyslexia, that I had a great memory that I never really knew I had. So I just memorized everything, committed to my memory, learned. He showed me how to memorize things. He showed me how to put things in order to memorize things and so I could just get scriptures and memorize them and have them up in there, store them in there and keep them going. I mean, it's pretty cool. The Holy Ghost showed me how to do it. So I just memorized it. I took my weakness and he made it a strength. No excuses. You got to realize the Word of God is alive. Where's your answer? You say, listen, we're going broke. I don't know what we're going to do. Your answer's in the Bible. You just got to find it. Now, third thing. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I hadn't even got to the real good stuff yet. Oh, well, ain't got no sense threes coming. The third thing you've got to understand is that your mouth and your heart are connected. Your mouth and your heart are connected. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your salvation is coming from what's in your heart and what's in your mouth. or your curse is coming from what's in your heart and what's in your mouth. Hello? Your curse is coming from either what's in your heart, it's what's in your heart or your mouth, or your blessing, your salvation is coming from your heart or your mouth. All right? Now, I've taught enough messages lately on all that, so you're just going to go back and just listen to it because I don't want to go. But you got to understand, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to come in your life. You're going to turn hunger to revelation. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to come in your life. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit where you understand what's going on. You got to let Him open up the Word to you. You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to read your Bible. The third thing is you've got to line up your mouth and your heart. And when that happens in your life, those three things, those three simple things, that doesn't mean you have to learn, you have to get in shape to climb Mount Everest. Folks, I'm not telling you a hard thing here. I'm telling you something simple. Hello? I mean, like, I'm coming to the place in my life that I realize that if I want to lose weight or maintain the weight that I am, I have to allow the certain amount of calories to go in, or I have to exercise more to burn more calories. I have a choice to make. Eat less or exercise or gain weight. That's my three choices, right? I'm still up in debate on what I'm going to do. Because I really hate to exercise, and so I'm trying to figure out how much less I could eat and what could I give up and cut off all the trimmings to just eat the really good so that I don't have to exercise, because I don't like to. Bottom line, I'm just really a sissy when it comes to that. So whatever, that's my life. Like I said, don't follow me in those areas. Hear what I preach when I preach the Word, but don't follow myself in those areas. Okay. So I'm going to give you a quick example, and then we're going to have communion. Okay, so let's say there is sadness in your life. Okay? There's sadness in your life. Whatever. Life has ripped you and turned you inside out, drug you through a knothole backwards, and there's sadness in your life, and you want joy. All right? So how are you going to get joy? The world is seeking joy by trying to earn as much as it possibly could so that it could buy all the things that it wants to make them happy. But what they always find out is once you get the things to make you happy, then there's not enough things because that thing doesn't make you happy anymore, so you got to have a new thing to make you happy, and you just keep going on and on and on, and you never get to the place where you're truly happy. You don't have joy. Joy only comes from one place, all right? It only comes from one place, and that's a relationship with Jesus. Let me show you, Galatians chapter 5. It says, stand fast, therefore, I'm in verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Love and joy are fruits of the Spirit. If you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then again, you can't really have true joy in your life. One of the scriptures that just really jumped out to me in developing this message was, you know, when you over in the book of James, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. I never really liked that one. That was one of the I'd like to cut out with the X-Acto knife and kind of get it out of my Bible. When I am in trial and tribulation, I usually don't approach it and say, oh boy, this is going to be fun. My first reaction is like, what in the world is going wrong? What the? That's how I go about it. I'm sorry. But that's usually when I don't want to have a trial. It's like exercising. I don't want to. I don't want to have a trial. I want things to go smoothly. I want things to go right. Hello? Are y'all with me or y'all like problems? But all of a sudden it dawned on me the other day when I'm studying this message, you know, If joy comes from having a revelation of Jesus and joy comes from being with him, that means when I'm in a trial, he's going to be nearer to me, so therefore I'm closer to him, so therefore I am going to have more joy. So I changed. And I also just say when a trial comes, I say, well, Lord, I'm going to see you work. That's going to be fun. You with me? Because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of knowing him. So if I'm going through a trial, I'll say, well, I don't see how you're going to get me out of this one, Lord. That's joy. Now, how are you going to get that? Well, you're going to have a revelation of it. So what does that mean? You're going to go to the Word. You're going to find what Galatians 5:1 says. You're going to say, okay, Lord, I want to understand the fruit of the Spirit. So then you're going to go through your Bible and have to start to research, what does it mean, the fruit of the Spirit? What does it mean to have this in my life? What does it mean to have this deal? Yeah, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to find the Scriptures. But it's so easy. I don't know if we've got one in there in the bookstore. For example, we used to have a regular concordance, you know, a book concordance. Has every word in the Bible in it. I think it was like $9. $9. You can have every word in the Bible right there where all you got to do is flip to it if you don't like to use a computer. You can go find up every scripture in the Bible where joy is mentioned, and you can look through it, and you can look at those scriptures, and you can find out every word, every time the word is used in the Bible, until one of those will jump off at you and say, oh, wow, I didn't know that about joy. All of a sudden, then the Holy Spirit begins to work in you. He's like, yeah, you almost got it a little bit more. You find another scripture, he's like, wow, look at that. And he didn't know that. All of a sudden, boom, you got a revelation. And then it changes your life. It sets your course. Oh, okay. So joy is not about how much money I can earn at the end of the week, because it's about having to know him. So all of a sudden you find yourself happier at work because you're not under the pressure of how much dollars you're going to earn. You're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to just bring the joy in your life because you're just knowing something about Jesus. You see, folks, you got to get a revelation because God does not operate like we operate. He does not work in the same sense knowledge as we do. He does things differently. People don't understand him and they blame everything in the world on him and they all say it's his fault. You ever notice how much an atheist blames God for everything? I'm like, how do you come up with that? I thought you didn't believe in God. Hello? Oh, they sure will. You know somebody that never been to church, doesn't like Christians, they get in a bind and they want you to pray for them. I'm like, huh, I thought you didn't want any of this. All I'm telling you, church, is this message this morning is the greatest word that you could ever have. And if you take those three simple points, the Holy Spirit will change your life. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Ladies, could y'all bring down the communion, please? This is our first Sunday communion. You know, here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service, so everyone is welcome that's a believer in Jesus Christ to have communion with us. You know, I'm sharing this with you from my own experience because some of you know me, some of you don't. My wife can attest to this, that ever since the day I got saved, I have preached to her. Y'all are just getting the overflow of what has already been taking place in the house and all of the sermon. This is it. I don't prepare a sermon for Sunday. I just and preaching from the overflow of my life. I read my Bible, and when I see in there how cool Jesus is, I get excited. I mean, that's the bottom line. Inside of me stirs up, and I want everybody to know how cool it is. And the problem with me is it makes me mad when somebody doesn't want to receive it or argues with me about it. You know, religious people. Religious people don't really like me. I had a guy the other day just tell me, he said, well, if somebody looks like you, I mean, what do you expect? And I said, thank you so very much, because I don't want to be in that category. But I want to tell you something. It's an exciting life. I get up every morning, make me a pot of coffee, straighten myself up, and open up my Bible. I've done that every morning, every day of my life since I got saved for 28 years. And I don't read that much. I read 5 chapters every day. Just 5 chapters. That's it. 5 chapters. Now, once in a while, I'll get stirred up on something and I'll read more. I read 5 chapters every day. I read 1 Old Testament chapter. I read 1 Psalms, 1 Proverb, 1 Gospel, and 1 Epistle. 1 chapter. Not book, chapter. That's it. Takes me about, you know, between drinking the coffee and all, I'm thinking, 15, 20 minutes. That's it. And by 15 or 20 minutes every morning for 28 years, the Lord has propelled my whole life, this church, radio ministry, orphans, literally millions of dollars we've given away. 15 minutes every morning. What would God do to you? I'm just telling you, he says he's no respecter of persons, and what God would do for one person, he'd do for another. To a dyslexic cowboy who's never read a book in his life? And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I am started at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, the Lord had to really put a deep sinker to fish for me. I wasn't floating up around at the top of the cream. I was down at the bottom. Y'all with me? He let out a lot of lines to get down there where I was. And so all I'm telling you is don't sit here and think, oh, well, the preacher, he's special. Don't fall into that line of bull. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm telling you this to tell you, 15 minutes every day will change your life forever. It'll change your life forever. Amen. Amen. Well, can I have my pastoral team, ushers, come up here? Or my prayer team, or whoever's supposed to be up here? I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Whoever's supposed to be here, be here. That's why they don't like me around religious circles. Here's a revelation for you. All the disciples sit down at the table. It's supposed to be a regular Passover meal like any other Passover meal all good Jewish people had had. And Jesus, right in the middle of it, just messes the whole thing up because he gets it all out of order. And he takes a piece of bread and he breaks it. And he blessed it and gave it to the disciples and he said, take and eat. For this is my body, which is broken for you. You see, that was not in the normal Jewish liturgy that they were going to speak at a Passover meal. Jesus messed it all up. Those disciples that day sat there when Jesus broke the bread. And they probably took a piece, or they did take a piece, and they ate it and had no unearthly idea what he was talking about. Because they didn't have a revelation. because their sense knowledge had overcome revelation knowledge. Because it's like, wait, that's not the normal Passover meal. It wasn't until later when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost and he came in there and he touched them all that he broke open their thinking. They said, wait a minute. He went to the cross and it was his body on the cross that was broken for us so that Isaiah 53 could come to pass that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. Oh, I got it. That's what happened to them. Now, I mean, these are a bunch of fishermen, you know, bunch of tough guys, but I could see them kind of do a little dance. Oh, did you understand? Oh, my God. That's what it was about. He broke that bread. Remember, he gave it to us. See, when they first took it, they didn't know what they were doing. But a revelation came. So, Father, we thank you for that revelation. That your broken body on that cross at Calvary was so that we could be healed. We wouldn't have to live brokenhearted or sick. And Jesus, we praise you for that. Then he took the cup. He decided he'd mess with them a little more. The cup wasn't supposed to be touched at the typical Passover meal. Jesus grabs it. Says, now, guys, so take the cup. For this is a cup represents a new covenant that's poured out in my blood for you and for me for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it. They're like, wait a minute, Lord, that's not supposed to be. They drank by sense knowledge. They didn't know what else to do. Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost. Revelation hits. Oh my gosh. Jesus' blood on that cross. He was the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. His blood was the one that was being poured out upon the mercy seat for the forgiveness of sin. He is the Lamb of God. And a revelation hit them that changed their lives. Folks, Jesus is the answer. It's what this cup represents this morning. The forgiveness of your sins. Have a revelation today that by Jesus' blood and what he poured out for you, that you can receive anything from heaven today. This is the body of Christ that was broken for you. Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ.